cancer, care, and community in the times of COVID. When I was a little girl and the thunder woke me up, I'd leap and race down the hall to Mom and Dad's room. I was still little enough, for a while, to squeeze in between them and listen to the hum of their quiet night talking, even as my own voice went piping out like a nesting plover, because I was excited to be awake at night and have their full attention. My parents both slept with their knees up, and I would stare over the quilted mountains and talk until my mom would mumble in 18 or 19 different ways, "It's time to get some rest now." At some point, my dad would quietly take my hand. He did it to settle me, but in my young mind, it was also a pact. If I could be quiet, he would keep holding on. Those nights were different than the days, when there was often real thunder and a terrible lightning that sometimes started our own house on fire. My dad was an alcoholic for many years until he went into recovery when I was 17. By then, in many ways, I had hardened my heart, with my closest family being my dear sweet cat, sauntering in through the window as I came home early in the morning. "Hello, Miss Muffet," and she would curl at my feet, and I thought back into the night world I now inhabited, with a tribe my family never knew, an extended family in its own right. After my dad got sober, it was my duty to forgive and forget, and I did so with a high mind and a heart that didn't easily take hold because some part of me had been changed, and I couldn't help that. Teenage me loved my dad with all my mind, if that makes sense. It was a kind of love, and it was the best I could manage at the time. And years later, as Dad was dying from stage 5 Parkinson's, I flew down to my folks' house. He reached out, a slight flick of the wrist, and I knew what to do. I held his hand. I've been thinking about my dad this week because one great thing about him was he never varnished silver linings. I would be able to tell him I have breast cancer, and he would instinctively say how awful that was, because he really felt the world. It's one reason he was so complicated. I know that there is a lot of good news in my bad news. For example, I've got a good plan and good care. A team, I'm told. To any of us who have lost friends to cancer, this is indeed, obviously, a silver lining. But also, I hate all of this. Like most women, my relationship to my breasts is complicated, too. When I was young and trying to navigate the world, they were something I often tried to hide. So much of the time, whether on the subway or at work or at a pub with my friends, it felt like they got in the way each time I was objectified, harassed, or even just seen as other by men. But then when I got pregnant, all of this changed quite spectacularly, and my breasts suddenly became almost apparition-like, like twin suns beaming towards an abundant future. Breastfeeding was weird. It was a weird animal experience that made the world seem very simple and small and slow, which was the beauty of motherhood in those early years. Having a baby makes you slow down, and it changes your perceptions in a way that brings wisdom if you roll with it. Up at night now, unable to sleep, I find myself thinking back to the nights when we were still co-sleeping, and my son would be chirping away to me as I fought off the nods, sensing this moment as a time to connect, but inevitably at some point murmuring my own mom's words, "It's time for us to get some sleep." I wonder, too, if I'm now being as patient as I was then, since time has had its way of speeding up and as he approaches tweenhood. Since being diagnosed, I have a new urgency to live life with laser-like focus, cutting every shred of bullshit out and getting to the important connections and the best moments, basically, cherishing the fuck out of it and everyone in case, you know, the bad thing comes back. This kind of good nature exhausts itself eventually, I know. Just like someday, our evening neighborhood cheers will peter out as the virus recedes in our lives and we get back to normal. Jockeying for space on the streetcar and passing our neighbors hurriedly with a nod at 8:45 a.m. each day, forgetting that for months our city opened up our windows and our lives to one another in an intimacy that, let's face it, is unprecedented in Toronto. This is okay, too. We're all undergoing a trauma, and some of the moments that sustain us now, we will also desire desperately never to repeat again. On Friday, I'll go in for my surgery. In my pre-op call, they warned me, You're going to see us dressed in masks and visors, in COVID PPE. These days, when we step apart and avoid that human touch, it's a gesture of kindness. But even as we don the masks and take those distancing strides, it all feels counterintuitive. Like the cancer inside me and the virus that lurks among us, I hate the masks and the distancing in my heart, even as I understand the why. We humans are designed to share a biome, to touch beyond that small bubble that ethical social distancing requires now. That desire, in normal times, is a biological imperative and a human need. But these are not normal times. We're all running down the hall in the darkness now, wondering when the thunder will stop. After my surgery, my family will be waiting in a Beck taxi outside because they can't safely come into the hospital. They will be waiting in a Beck taxi in a world that will feel much too bright and real for me until I've gotten back to our home, our sheltering place. Then I'll settle down on the couch with my guys and offer up a kindness I know best. One hand reaching for another.